I've just realised something problematic that might happen here.
What?
Because of the fact that you two are twins, mm-hmm. you both have similar vocal cords,
that's
I'm assuming.
True.
No?
You can totally tell the difference between us. Are you saying you can't tell the difference between me and Jacob?
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes and now
but you can
speak.
Tell from the from like which side it's coming from.
No, but they aren't. They have no one.
Why did you bring you into it?
Because I'm so sorry to everybody. Hello, this is the Right Dishonorable podcast. This week, Jimmy is somewhere doing something. I'm not 100% sure what, yeah. But I'm Jimmy. Jimmy's dead. But I'm joined this week by the Fratocrats, the Brothers True.
the Brothers True. That's brilliant.
Oh, I was quite proud that I'd come up with that on my own.
Well, you came up with it on your own, but other people have come up with it.
Yeah. So that voice that you're hearing is Mike. Say hello.
Hey, up.
Hey, oh, are you northern?
No, we're from the Midlands.
Oh, that's like more, that's north for me. Like.
This is something that really like gets into my body. Look, Jacob, culturally, we're more northern than southern.
I would say that culturally, the Midlands has more in common with the north, but the whole discussion between north and south really
and that voice that you're hearing is Jake. So Mike.
My name is Jake.
Mike. Jacob. I'm so sorry. Michael and Jacob.
You hit on like the two things that really annoyed me.
What was the first one?
First
you're
thing
northern.
Is being called northern. Second
you're northern
thing.
And Jake. Northern Jake.
Motherfucker.
So this is, as I said, this is the Right Dishonorable podcast. And on this, in the next like 45 minutes, we're going to be talking about current events and politics, mm-hmm. and I always forget what the third thing is.
We're going to talk about comedy and offensive humour, because in the light of the Nicole Arbour scandal, I guess...
A scandal of...
Dear Fat People Gate, whatever you want to call it.
Arbourgate.
A lot of people...
Which sounds
Arbourgate.
Like a town.
Yeah. A lot of people are just kind of jumping on the, there's some things you don't joke about bandwagon, and it pisses me off, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, and we're also going to be talking about the second Republican debate, which happened on CNN this week.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. and then finally, Jeremy Corbyn is now the leader of the opposition in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
He is indeed.
And he did his first Prime Minister's questions and put a spin on it where he outsourced his questions. And we're going to talk about whether that is something that is...
It's not a very Labour thing to do, to outsource, really.
No, not at all. God bless Corbyn, God bless the Labour Party. But we're now going to play a little bit of music and then start talking about the things that we're going to talk about. Does that sound good, boys?
Snazzy.
Snazzy. This week, the well-known broadcaster, CNN in the US, hosted a debate for 11 of the Republican candidates for president. Mm. So we had, I want to talk about like four specific candidates who are on the table, because we've talked about this particular process before, specifically Trump. Mm. Can we have a sound that conveys your feelings about Trump, Jacob?
Oh, God.
Excellent.
Well, that's something that never really came up. I mean, I don't understand why nobody has mentioned
sounds
to
of Trump.
Yeah, well, Trump, Trump in...
I don't think it's the same in America.
Well, yeah, exactly. Trump, where I grew up, is a fart.
So. Oh, actually, yeah, it is, isn't it?
So...
Bless him, they didn't...
Can we call him President Fart?
We can't. We'll call him President Fart. Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
What did we think about her in a sound? And Michael? Well, that's the token straight man on the podcast.
No, I don't even like it that much.
That says a lot about a token straight man, to be quite honest.
So,
just a woman in your
fuck head. You! Fuck you! It was a joke!
It was a sexist and very heteronormative joke,
I
Michael.
I agree, a joke nonetheless. Save it for the third topic.
And then Jeb Bush. Mm. A sound effect for that, please, Michael.
What? Hablo español.
Very good. And finally, Ben Carson.
Oh, okay.
Doctor, kind of.
Basically, I want to go through a couple of the topics that came up in the debate. Mm-hmm. Specifically, a lot of people said that Carly Fiorina, who is my queen, I really like her. About 90% of my tweets at the moment are me just swooning over her.
I can't understand.
Why do you like her so much?
Because she's fierce.
No,
and
she's
that is
not.
The main reason.
No, she's not.
So she stole the show by having a very... a very strong response to the interview that Donald Trump gave in Rolling Stone magazine, yeah. where he said something along the lines of, how could anybody vote for that
look
face?
At that
look
face.
At that face.
Yeah.
Does that look like the face of the next president? He was talking about her character.
Bollocks.
Yeah, well, I think we can all agree that that was bollocks, and I think Carly Fiorina also knows that that was bollocks. She made a response and was asked to respond to that particular comment in the debate, and she said, well, I heard him very clearly, and I think all of the women of the United States heard what Donald Trump said very clearly as well, and then did something that never happens on, like, a debate stage, because they have only a specific amount of time that each of them can speak. She went silent
yep.
and just let everybody go, yes! Okay. The crowd went wild. Did you think about that response first?
I think it's very, very cool, calm, collected response and did what it needed to do. That's fair enough. I have to just, you know...
Feel free to knock my favourite candidate out of the park.
Circle back. I just don't understand. This happens all the time when I talk to people. I don't understand how you can say you like someone when they're anti-abortion, anti-gay, blah, blah, blah.
So she isn't. So in terms of abortion, she thinks that the amount of time that... that women are allowed to be pregnant for before they can terminate a fetus should be reduced, but she hasn't ever come out specifically as anti-abortion.
Well, even so...
So she's come out against Planned Parenthood since those tapes came out that were particularly problematic that suggested the harvesting of...
Which, as I understand it, were not exactly as were presented in the press.
True, but she also has a Republican base to pander to. And I do, and I appreciate that she has to do that. On the gay thing, she's deliberately quiet all of the time.
That's exactly what I mean. I mean, it's like with... I listen occasionally to the RuPaul podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't stand that podcast.
Yeah, I stopped listening to it.
Yeah.
But
it's about five... like hours of adverts.
I know. And just RuPaul just saying, if you want a website, go to Squarespace. Yeah. And you're like, great, thank you, RuPaul.
All the fucking podcasters are talking about Squarespace. Because I listen to a lot of Mark Maron's podcast. He goes, yeah. Hey folks, do you like websites? Squarespace.com.
We haven't yet been offered a sponsorship for whatever reason. I can't think why.
When we did a podcast, a sex toy company actually wanted us to advertise their sex toys.
It was very weird.
It was very weird.
Very fun. But back to Carly. Michael, what do you think about Carly Fiorina? Do you think that the performance that she did in the last debate is going to make her a real contender? Because she's still really seen as an outsider.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, I don't really know. What I would say about Donald Trump
yeah.
is that he will say anything in the moment to make him look as good as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So he will say things like, look at her face, and do you want that to be the next president? Because he thinks it will help him. But then when he realizes that it doesn't help him, he'll backtrack and talk a load of bullshit to make him look good.
But I don't think that he ever has really backtracked.
Yes, he has. What's his name? Rob Delaney
mm-hmm.
retweeted something of Donald Trump talking about Penn Jillette of the magic duo Penn and Teller. Saying, I just met Penn Jillette, saw his show, great guy. And then when a few years later, when Penn Jillette has basically said, I don't support Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
he said, Penn Jillette, his show is terrible. No one likes his show. It did terribly in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he'll just say whatever he thinks is best for him in the moment.
But people...
He's not consistent. He's a piece of shit.
But people do quite like him because...
That was nothing about Carly.
Because there's nothing about Carly.
Yeah, sorry.
It's just because I really like her. So something that was brought up in a Vox article by Ezra Klein that was particularly interesting is like when you hear Donald Trump talk, he sounds very, very articulate.
No.
But then when you look at what he said written down, it's like... What? So, for example, he said, when talking about foreign policy, he said, I would talk to Putin. I would get along with him, I believe, and I may be wrong, in which case I'd probably have to take a different path, but I would get along with a lot of world leaders that this country is not getting along with. He's just basically saying people are going to like me, I think, maybe. If they don't like me, I'll have to do something else.
I don't think that he sounds articulate. I've never thought he sounds articulate, so I don't know where that's coming from.
He's number one in the polls.
Well,
Jacob,
that's probably why, because he's not articulate. This is something that Conan O'Brien talked about in the Mark Maron podcast. People do not like nuanced views. They do not respond well to complex opinions. So if someone can distill everything into China, then they like that.
Have you seen the video that is him saying China, 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 China? Mm-hmm. Like all of the times he's said China in the past few months. It's hilarious.
He's not articulate. I don't like him at all.
Why do you think he's doing so well then, Jacob?
As I'm aware, historically, candidates that poll well in the first few weeks mm-hmm. do not go on to win any, you know, very rarely the nomination, much less the actual presidential race. Mm-hmm. So I'm not particularly worried. I think that as it goes on, he's just going to make an ass and an ass and an ass of himself. And as much as we can all rant and rave about how horrible and decrepit and, you know, morally bankrupt the Republican candidates all collectively are, I think that eventually he's going to run out of steam, or he's going to say something so egregious. That being said,
he's already said that Mexicans are rapists.
I know.
And he's already insulted John McCain, who is like a war hero and was the 2008 Republican candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, he's also said stuff that should have gotten him out of the race already.
Sure, but I'll just say this. I will be surprised if he wins the candidacy.
Mm-hmm. The nomination.
Whatever. Okay. Same thing. Same dish.
I wasn't having a go.
I never finished my thought about Carly Fiorina.
What did you tell me? Finish your
thought.
Well,
as I was
Carly.
Saying, I was listening to the RuPaul podcast. Mm. And in it they're talking about, because Michelle Visage was in the Big Brother House, Celebrity UK, Big Brother House, whatever.
Classy lady.
Yeah, and she was in there with Katie Hopkins. And she was like, oh, I loved her. I was so happy to meet her. She's such a nice person. And yeah, she says some horrible things. I was like...
She said that we should, like, sink boats.
She said that we should literally kill immigrants.
You know what, though? I've met Katie Hopkins, and she is lovely.
I'm sure she is.
But her public persona is absolutely foul.
So you think it's fake?
It's exaggerated. So she doesn't say anything different to what my uncle says around the dinner table on a Saturday evening.
Is your uncle a piece of shit?
Occasionally, yes. But so I feel like it's interesting to... I feel like Donald Trump running for president is similar to somebody like Katie Hopkins doing the same.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand. Maybe I have a very sort of like superficial view of it. And, you know, of people in general. If they say one thing that I regard as genuinely morally bankrupt, I'm done with them. And I don't know.
How do you survive politics then? Because it's all, especially in the run-up to the Republican nomination, you have to pander to that base. And you have to either stay silent on certain issues.
Well, that's why I would never vote
things.
Republican.
Yeah, like, so I, we haven't yet seen any of the... candidates for the Democratic side debate yet.
No.
So that side of the argument is all completely silent at the moment, which is why I'm particularly wed to Carly, because I think she's the best candidate that we've seen so far, and I don't really like
anyone else
Hillary very much.
Why not? You know, I don't know.
Because she's very problematic.
How so?
In that she's an... So she's an insider, and I don't think that's particularly what American people want at the moment. They want somebody who's going to shake shit up.
Right.
And also, the whole email thing is, worrying.
Why? She never broke any laws.
She didn't, but it's the fact that she's gone to the extent where she wants to completely wipe her server.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you must have something to hide.
If only Daniel J. Layton was here. He loves her. He absolutely adores her.
I would love to see Hillary Clinton debating Carly Fiorina. I'd love a two-woman race for president. That mm-hmm. would be amazing. I wanted to touch on one other thing that has been plaguing kind of like the right-wing media in the US at the moment, and that's the debate about vaccines. Mm-hmm. And the kind of pandering to the fact that people think that vaccines cause autism, which is fucking ridiculous. So
getting so upset.
I think Trump is an absolute moron. He says, "I made a lot of money." Yeah, you started out with a lot of money, you fucking asshole. Yeah. Your dad gave you literally millions of dollars, and you're like, "I made so much money." He's out of touch. He's opportunistic in what he says. He's he's opportunistic in what he fucking believes in and supports, things like fucking autism.
So did you hear what he said about that?
Yes, I did.
He said, I heard, so my friend has a friend, is literally how he started.
He's talking next, he's sitting next to it, standing next to a doctor who says there's literally, we've done multiple scientific studies, there is no
evidence
to suggest that autism is linked to vaccines. And he says, right before that statement, Donald Trump said, I think there's a link between vaccines and autism.
And he said he did an anecdote.
He said that, and then the doctor said no study has shown that. And then he said, well, some of the people that I know, they had like 2-year-olds, sprightly young 2-year-olds who got a vaccine and then suddenly were autistic. So there you go.
That's how science works.
And then it went back to the doctor who said, look, there's no proof. And but maybe we shouldn't be giving out as many vaccines. And Donald Trump goes, and that's all I'm saying. No, it isn't. You just said that that vaccines are linked to autism, which is bollocks.
The entire way through, I was like saying to Ben, obviously it wasn't saying to him. I was wishing that he would just
say, were you just going to say, you were saying to Ben Carson?
Yeah, I was like whispering in his
I had
ear.
His ear, like, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But I was just wishing he would just say, no, anyone who says that there is a link is wrong. They are ignorant. There's been no studies that's proven it. Done. Zip. Nothing. We need to stop having this debate. And I'll say it again. It bears repeating. Anyone who thinks that there's a link is an idiot. This guy next to me is an idiot because it's not true. I just wanted him to keep going at it. And it was just like, you know, as we said, there is no link. I know that he's like...
Yeah, that's what he's like, though. That's why people like him, because he's soft-spoken and lovely and just really cute. If you watch Ben Carson walk, he's just like, he kind of plods, like Winnie the Pooh. It's really, really cute.
He's like, leans back a bit.
Yeah.
Sort of just, like, rolls around on a sort of vertical axis.
So, to close this topic off, I know that the presidential election isn't for a very, very long time, over a year. Mm. Who's your pick for the Republican candidacy? Jacob first.
Like I said, I have a very if a black and white view of politicians, which is probably
poor
not the best.
Choice of words.
I know.
Very poor choice of words.
It's probably not the best perspective to have, because as soon as someone says something anti-gay or really ridiculously anti-abortion or anti-women, I'm like, screw you. But if I had to choose, I probably would go for Carly Fiorina.
Yes, queen!
Like, best of a bad bunch.
Based on what you've told me, Jazza, which I'll be the first to say is an incredibly biased opinion.
And proud.
You seem to, like, she seems to be, like, quiet about the fact that she doesn't hate gay people. She's willing to not outright say gay people are going to hell and like AIDS is a cure and all that shit. Yeah, so probably Carly Fiorina. Is Santorum running?
Santorum is running,
but he's still running.
But he's doing terribly. Yeah. He's like in under 1% in the polls.
He's one of the most ridiculously horrible human beings.
Have you seen? Have you googled Santorum?
I have. Yeah. I know all about that shit. And I think it's hilarious.
One of the best things Dan Sanders ever did. We're gonna wrap up this topic here.
Can I just say before we go, when Santorum was in the last election race, he got some like country singing girls to sing to make a song for him called Game On. And it just went, Game On, we got someone in the race who cares about America. It was awful, but so funny. If I was a drag queen, I would do that performance in a heartbeat and then just death drop right at the end.
Well, stay tuned for that. If you want to join in with this conversation, what were your thoughts of the GOP debate? You can follow us at Right Dishonor and let us know what you thought there. Feel free to call us terrible things. Mm-hmm. Be very, very welcomed. And also go to the website rightdishonourable.com. Leave us a comment. That'll be lovely. Thank you very much. This is going to be the last time in a while that we talk about Jeremy Corbyn, I promise. Because in the podcast, we've managed to talk about him at least like 4 times over the summer.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. Well, I hope so. Because actually, he's been quite entertaining. He's the new leader of the Labour Party, and
did
he did his first.
He's a new leader of the Labour Party,
And he did his first Prime Minister's Questions this week,
right.
He did something particularly interesting and quite different, which was what, Michael?
He crowdsourced his questions, so he asked a load of people from I think Did he ask particularly Labour people? Did he send it out to
I think it was just the internet in general.
Okay. Yeah. And basically they responded. He apparently got around 40,000 emails with questions on it, and he picked 6.
Mm-hmm.
And
because that's what he is allowed for.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't just like go for 5, 6.
I'm not gonna do all 40,000.
Just pick the last 6.
Yeah.
And that is apparently unusual. That's the first time I've watched the Prime Minister's question.
Is it really?
It's not usually like that. I tell you something. The last election has really like energized me to politics, because as much as I, when I was a kid, I thought of myself as a lot more political than my peers, and I thought I was a lot more into politics than them. I've got to come to terms with the fact that it's not a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that I did have an innate interest in it, because I know that it's very important.
And look at you now, you're on a political podcast.
Yeah, but I just don't have that drive towards it. But I tell you that the last election and Jeremy Corbyn has really energised me, because I really fucking hate the Conservatives.
Did you join the Labour Party and vote for him?
No.
No, okay.
But I'm going to.
So he didn't energise you enough for you to vote for him.
It's baby steps, man.
What is it about Corbyn that you particularly like?
Well,
or would you have been energized by any of the candidates had they won?
I think that Chuka Amuna. I think he was very interesting, purely, and this is gonna sound really fucking stupid, purely because he's a person of colour.
Mm-hmm.
Because as someone that's young and a person of colour is just not usual.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited about him for a while now.
He is from the polar opposite side of the Labour Party.
Yeah, I understand.
Compared to Corbyn, though.
But I think that he would have brought something new to it. However, I've read through the things that Jeremy Corbyn believes in. He's anti-monarchy, as am I.
Yeah, but he's also said very explicitly that it's not something that he's planning on having any.
I understand that, but that for me, that's purely an opportunity thing. It's not the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's anti-monarchy. He's supports a strong welfare.
He's anti-Trident as well.
Like that question about Trident. Like, who are we planning to nuke? That requires us to still have nuclear missiles.
We can
totally fuck up people without nukes, and nukes are insane. We don't, like, the amount of nukes in the world could literally destroy every. I think that the statistic is you could cover the entire world in a nuclear bomb.
At the moment we can destroy the world that we have several times over with the nuclear
weapons.
So it's interesting having somebody like that at the front of the second largest party in the UK, right? Which is particularly interesting. But he has been. He's got quite a lot of the media against him. He's been mocked openly by a lot of people. And the Conservatives, when he won, I think they probably just went, "Come on, this is going to be an easy 5 years, isn't it?" Jacob, what are your opinions of Jeremy Corbyn? And then we'll move on to how he did at PMQs.
I generally like Jeremy Corbyn. I don't agree with everything he says, but my main concern was the fact that I don't think that the country is as less left-wing as he is, anywhere close,
mm-hmm.
the general sort of consensus. And because of that, I think it's going to give the Tories an easy ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm much more worried about that. That was basically my feelings.
Did you follow the Labour leadership election?
Yeah, I did. Not
who would have been your candidate then? Who would have you voted for?
Mm.
Just so I can judge you accordingly.
Maybe Andy Burnham, but to be fair, but why? What?
He's just got eyebrows of a Disney prince.
Oh, so it's
hair
purely a physical thing.
You're being
then.
Very sexist.
I am being very sexist.
But then he said that the reason he didn't vote, like, what was the vote? What was it for, like, welfare of some description?
Oh yeah, the welfare bill.
And
yeah.
The reason he didn't vote against it was because he didn't want to split the party, and it was like, oh well, that's a good principled man there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm really. I wish I knew a bit more about it. To be honest, my opinion is in many ways about what I don't want rather than what I do want.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Scottish independence referendum was happening, I really wasn't that bothered. If Scotland wants to leave, fair enough, it's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, Felicia, so to speak. But I was more worried about the fact that if Scotland were to leave, we'd lose a lot of non-Tory votes.
Yeah.
And we could be in some serious... England would be left with a lot of Conservatives.
Yeah, I feel like that's less of a problem because... that's initially what I thought as well. But I think that's less of a problem because there would be a correction. Because you can... In terms of the democracy that we have, it doesn't lend itself to having one party in power for a particularly long period of time. No longer than like 20 years, I think. Because people get sick of them. And we generally have strong oppositions. This is why I'm... worried about Jeremy Corbyn, because I don't think that he is going to be a particularly strong opposition leader. Mm. Just because the opposition leader is seen to be expected to be like the next prime minister in waiting, I don't think anybody thinks that Jeremy Corbyn looks like a prime minister in waiting, unless flannel comes back in fashion particularly quickly. Now that he's outsourcing some of his questions, although his team have said that he's not going to be doing that every single week, would you be tempted to write in to Mr. Corbyn and ask him a question or two?
Yeah. What's your favourite Pokemon?
You haven't, Michael, you haven't seen Pony's questions yet. So before.
No, I have.
Before.
Oh, before, yes.
So it's usually quite raucousy and lots of like...
What I don't understand is why do people, like, whenever anyone sits down or stands up, people stand up with them?
Because they want to be called next.
Right. Well, how...
That's how you show that you want to ask
the
question.
So literally the speaker just goes, and picks you.
Sometimes. I think it's a lot of it is predetermined.
Oh.
But it's...
Then why are they standing up?
Ceremony.
Fucking weird.
But so basically, this was meant to be a much more calm and much more collected Prime Minister's Questions.
Right.
And at the end of the Prime Minister's Questions, David Cameron said... apparently to George Osborne. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? So do we worry that Jeremy Corbyn, as I said earlier, isn't going to be an effective opposition leader in holding David Cameron's feet to the fire?
This is the way that I looked at it from my perspective. I think that Jeremy Corbyn has a lot of great policies, and he certainly energised me. Because I don't... One of the things that I really feel...
Sure.
One of the things that I really feel strongly about is... the NHS, because people need to not have to worry about their health, and
especially me, because I'm a massive hypochondriac.
And it seems like the NHS. I've spoken to people who work in the NHS, and they've just said that the Conservatives have just kind of just ripped it to shreds, and
I feel like a lot of that is like left wing press being sensationalist. So the NHS is still. Free at the point of care,
right.
Which is like the important thing, right?
Right.
And that gets turned into it's being privatised. So lots of it are using private models and are bringing in people, contractors, to run the public service.
Right.
And that's being called privatisation. And I think that is something dishonest about left-wing media that are saying the NHS is being privatised. It's not really. The services are being provided by private companies, but the actual services themselves are still public.
Right.
So kind of like to close off this topic, I just want your opinions on one particular thing that happened over the last week. One of his first engagements as Labour leader, he was pictured or videoed not singing the national anthem. Now, do you think that... And then was called, like, oh my God, he's a terrible person because he hates the Queen. Do you think that... So I personally think that this was... He just forgot. Because I think lots of people just don't sing the national anthem. And do you particularly care... And do you think that this kind of sets a precedent for the media kind of attacking him on every single little thing that he does?
Well,
Jacob?
Me personally, I actually is quite a principled stand I have is that I'm a very staunch Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So I
get
would,
out.
Right, fuck you. I would.
Are you pro Queenie?
I love Queenie. Yeah.
I don't. This
we talked about this last week on the podcast,
ridiculous.
And me and Jimmy come to blows every time that we
Why?
Talk about the monarchy.
Why are you...
We're not going to go into it again.
Why not?
We're not going to... No, we
because
won't go
I was
into
talking,
it again.
Mike.
And because you're right.
No, we won't go into it again.
Anyway.
We'll go into it off podcast.
Anyway, so I would, by on principle, not sing the national anthem, because not aside from the being a Republican, I'm an atheist as well.
Mm-hmm.
The song is called God Save the Queen. That's two strikes already.
He is, despite his own... Whatever his own opinions are, he is... officially the head of His Majesty's Her Majesty's opposition.
Sure, but that's all part of the ceremony. You can't. I mean, when MPs are sworn in, they have to swear allegiance to the Queen. So you still have to swear allegiance to the Queen, even if you say specifically beforehand, I don't agree with this at all.
But the majority of people are still monarchists in this country.
Yeah, but you know, if we were in a hypothetical other United Republic, for instance, and we were, what do you call it, and we were... We had our national anthem was, I don't know, oh beloved
humanists, save the people.
Oh beloved elected president who is higher than any imaginary fairy tale god. I would be just have as much problem with that because it's by nature partial and partisan. And I don't think I would expect a religious person to sing a song that, you know, is in abject opposition to their beliefs. So I wouldn't sing the national anthem. And I should also point out, this is a little bit off topic, that everyone always suggests if England ever had a national anthem, because England officially doesn't have one, they always say, what about Jerusalem? It's about Jesus visiting visiting England. Aside from Jesus being, you know, a bit squiffy historically, you know, him visiting England is preposterous. And you want to have that as the national anthem of England? Choose anything else. It could be, it could be like
Bohemian Rhapsody. It is a really good tune,
it's
though.
It's a nice tune, but it's a... Oh my God. It's
right.
Michael, I'll let you have...
Inherently religious song.
I'll let you have the closing statements on this. Do you think... Rather than whether you were in Corbyn's shoes, do you think that you would sing? Because I think that you would also choose not to sing it.
Definitely.
Do you think that he maybe should be more accommodating to the majority view because he is the opposition party and he is looking to get more supporters? Do you think that he should concede things like his Republican stance and his stance on Trident in order for Labour to be more electable?
I think that he has said that he is willing to concede points. He had an interview with Jon Snow where...
Jon Snow!
Righto.
Jon
Snow. When he had an interview with Jon Snow where Jon Snow basically said, if you spoke with your Labour cabinet and they came to a consensus that outweighed your, more people were, I'm explaining this very bad. if he talked about an issue with his cabinet and the cabinet mostly agreed that it should be one way, even if it was against him, he said, of course I'd back my cabinet. I'm a Democrat. So he has said that he will concede points if necessary. He doesn't. That doesn't mean that he should go, oh yeah, I'm totally in favour of the monarchy, that was all bullshit. He's not going to do that. He'll still say, look, I think it's a bad idea, but I'm a Democrat, so I'll go with what the party says. That's totally fine. I think he's said that he will concede points.
I agree.
As a Democrat, and I think that's perfectly fine.
Shaking hands.
I want to say, I agree with Jacob about the monarchy. I think that we need a new national anthem because it doesn't talk about England anywhere near as much as it should. It talks about God, it talks about the Queen. I don't agree with the Queen, the monarchy, or the peerage. I want it to go away. So I'm totally with my brother. I fucking hate the peerage. Fuck the lords, fuck the barons.
Excellent. So on that note, you can tell us what you think. I'm just a bit blown away by all of the fucking that you're apparently going to be doing.
Do you mean by dominating the conversation?
Oh my God, children.
Yeah, you fucking
No, children, do not, don't you start now. So we are going to be on Twitter answering your questions and your comments about this at Right Dishonour. And also, Jacob, where could people... find you on Twitter as well, actually.
On Twitter, I am at the Jacob Truman because someone stole the Jacob Truman. It's literally just still the egg logo for Jacob Truman.
What a dick. Very and annoying. Michael, where can they be monarchist at you?
Okay. Well, I prefer it if you didn't, but if you wanted to, it's at Mike Fratocrat. So it's Mike, Fratocrats. Mike Fratocrat. Not S. Mike Fratocrat.
So if you manage to get
any of
that.
Just point out, because people regularly get our name wrong, Truman is spelt with an E, so it's T-R-U-E-M-A-N.
The true men.
Yes. It's, you know, it's how, you know, English is spelt.
We're probably descended from nobility, which is fun.
Michael, tell me what happened with Nicole Arbour and why she hates fat people.
Okay. Well, that was a loaded question. essentially, in the past, I think it's about 2 weeks now, there's been a YouTube scandal. Fortunately, it's not been a touchy-touchy no-no-no-no scandal. It's been a, hey, fat people, fuck you.
Oh my God,
that's horrible. Scandal. So let's just explain it. Nicole Arbour, who is a YouTube comedian, made a video called Dear Fat People, in which she took about 5 minutes aside to really just stick the knife in. She really did tell a lot of horrible jokes, a lot of jokes that were obviously very
of the
critical, 1970s, very right. critical of fat people and shamed them and made fun of them. And essentially a lot of people got very, very mad. And she's feeling the effects of that. I can understand...
That's putting it lightly.
I can understand totally that people have every right. And this is, I'm not saying that fat people need to shut up at all. My opinion is there are lots of people out there who have every right to be offended by what she said. But there is a kind of a feeling, a fervor within the community, the left-wing community, let's say liberal, because it's not economic. The
Tumblr-esque.
Tumblr,
it's
YouTube.
It's not even really liberal. It's a very sort of, it's like an enclave
social
on the
justice
internet.
War. Yeah.
Who are basically saying that there are some things you cannot joke about.
Mm-hmm.
And let me put my position down. I think you can argue very comfortably that Nicole Arbour is legit a comedian. I've seen people say, well, I don't find her funny, so she's not a comedian. That's not the definition mm-hmm. of a comedian. Comedian doesn't mean he or she has to make every single person laugh. They can have their own niche. They can have their own market. They don't have to make every single person laugh. So I think you can argue that she's a comedian. I don't think that she was being serious when she said all the things that she said. I think she was being incredibly farcical. For that reason, I think that you can say that you have every right to say, I don't want to watch this. This is bullshit. This offends me.
Mm-hmm.
And turn it off. Some people are saying there are things you don't joke about, and she should not be able to joke about those kind of things. And I think that wades into a very dangerous area of hypocrisy and inconsistency. Mm-hmm. So I support comedians' rights to tell humor that people find offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion.
So I am of a similar opinion after all of the kind of social justice warrior stuff that was happening, which I don't always use as a pejorative.
Yeah.
I am to a certain extent a social justice warrior on the internet as well.
I think the term specifically social justice warrior has a certain hyperbole to it, which suggests
yeah.
a certain type of person.
Yeah, yeah.
But in many ways, I do agree with social justice.
Yeah,
that sense.
Exactly. But basically, a lot of the criticisms directed at Nicole Arbour were, like, well, you're just being mean. Why would you be mean? and so this is why, actually, quite a lot of the time I have respect for people like Katie Hopkins, who we're talking about earlier, because she very deliberately tries to be the antidote to everything has to be like, oh my God, so cute.
I personally believe there needs to be more negativity in the world.
like you joke, but yeah, no, like not everything is happiness and rainbows.
I fully support Katie Hopkins' right to say all the horrible things she says.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that she's a piece of shit. And also...
and
also,
the same for Nicole Arbour.
Well, the difference is, I don't think you can call Katie Hopkins a comedian. I don't think she's doing it to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that she's doing it to be bombastic and sensational, but I think Nicole Arbour is having her Michael Richards moment. She's having her moment.
It's a question of extent there, to be quite honest.
Essentially, if anyone that don't know, Michael Richards is a comedian who played Kramer on the popular sitcom.
Like one of the like
one of those popular sitcoms. He played Kramer on Seinfeld, and he was doing a stand-up show a good few years ago. I think that's got to come. Be coming up to a decade now, where he got heckled by a black guy and attempting to be shocking and to get people to go, oh, he's really stepping it up. He mm-hmm. basically just straight up called the black guy the N-word and started repeating
several
it
times.
And his footage was going, you're an N-word, you're an N-word.
Thank you for not saying it.
At one point he said, we used to hang you from trees and things like that. Awful stuff that was not working comedically. Everyone was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What was the funniest thing about that? When it all died down, you heard the black guy go, that was not called for. And it was just his moment where he really misjudged a comedic performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nicole Arbour's done.
So
she's really misjudged this.
No, but she does do it again and again and again. She has very... I think she is... very deliberately trying to be shock and awe at the moment, and to counter the social justice warrior kind of part of the internet. She wants people to get outreach. She wants people to flag her videos.
Does she?
Sure. There's a certain draw of hers to be shocking. But I agree in many ways with Mike, but there are some things that I kind of have a principled disagreement on. First of all, it's just factual. I believe I know you watched it, but you got some things wrong about it when we talked about it on our show, Twin Joke, if you want to check that out on Fratocrats, the YouTube channel. Anyway, point being.
We'll plug that properly later.
Yeah, we'll put it on later. So she, at several times, she was making jokes, but at several times, she wasn't making jokes. She was just saying horrible things.
How can you say that one thing is a joke and one thing's not?
Because you can tell some of it was statements. She said there's no such thing as fat shaming. That's not true. There quite clearly is.
Well, obviously, but comedians...
So I feel like that was part of the set, though. I feel like it was meant to be a comedic thing.
I don't know.
And some of the time she was just being an asshole.
For my
fucking Frankie Boyle has said that people need to fucking die on stage.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's always coming at it from a way that is quite clearly the thrust of what he's saying is joking. And it's always about the laughter. Whereas for me, I feel like when I watched that, it was demonstrative of genuine contempt, because the way that she was talking about it was that it wasn't funny in any kind of like incisive, interesting way. She was just like, oh, they're so fat and they smell and they're killing themselves, and it didn't you know, qualify to me as a joke. There were attempts at jokes,
so it's very lowbrow comedy what she was doing, which, like as I said earlier, was very similar to the kind of stuff that was very commonplace in the 70s when like mother-in-law jokes were the norm, right? And she's very much pandering to that. What I think is really disappointing is that she's actually a really talented comedian. Other stuff, when she's first started doing her stuff like live on stage and doing stand-up, she would like invert the whole blonde bimbo thing and just be really like, just play with that dynamic and how people see her as like a blonde attractive woman, and then just be like, I'm being really stupid. And is like really good at that character and amazing. And I think that it's a shame that
she's up.
I don't think she has fucked up. I think that this is deliberate what she's doing, because she knows that this is going to get her a reaction.
Yeah, but
and
this
that's
could,
how
this,
you make it on I, YouTube at the moment I, is by pissing people off.
I don't know.
One of my
true.
Most popular videos of the past year,
it's not sustainable.
Is me calling out Joe Sugg on queerbaiting in his video thumbnails. And that video is done amazingly, but people have engaged with it and watched it a lot because they hate it. Like Joe Sugg's fans.
I totally agree with you, but that's not sustainable. That's not sustainable as in a comedy career. She can't do that all the fucking time.
I present to you Katie Hopkins again.
Yeah, but she's not a comedian.
I think that to a certain... You could argue that she is, though.
No, she's not. No,
she doesn't do the same thing. It's like when people said, well, when Kevin Smith gets on stage and does an evening with Kevin Smith, he's basically doing stand-up. No, he's not. He doesn't have to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith can go 15 minutes doing an evening with Kevin Smith and not make anyone laugh, and it's still an evening with Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. A comedian has to make jokes, on average, every 15 seconds. There are just some very distinct differences.
So, moving on from this particular argument, even though we've made our points.
I know that I'm interrupting here, but I just want to make one thing very clear. I do not think that what Nicole Arbour did was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't laugh at it. That doesn't mean that I don't think
I think we all agree on that. I think that she was a bit...
Yeah, I think it was really stupid. I think it was not funny. I didn't like it. All I'm saying is people have a tendency among my community to go, there are just some things you don't joke about. And that's
can we talk about that a bit if that's all right? Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to move on to.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about the reaction to it, which was person after person saying that this was disgusting, that what she was saying was triggering, that like basically she shouldn't be welcome on the internet anymore. And she has a problematic past on YouTube. I don't know if you know. She's picked fights with other YouTubers before. She used to date a very popular guy who does lists of things, and they had a very public falling out. They picked a fight with a guy called Godoroda in Canada when he nearly beat them in a competition. Like there's a lot of baggage surrounding this. Nicole Arbour...
That's what supports your idea that she is doing it on purpose.
Yeah. But Nicole Arbour is already, by default, a disliked person in the community because of the history that she has with other people and the very public falling outs that she's had. To what extent do you think that people were choosing to be outraged by this, by just jumping on a bandwagon?
Terrific extent. And I think everyone does that. I do it, everyone does it. It's like I said earlier, people don't like nuanced opinions. People don't like to think about things because it's hard and it's difficult.
And my brain hurts.
They want to be the guy that goes on Facebook and goes, I just want to say Nicole Arbour is a fucking bitch and have a load of people like them on Facebook. That's what they want. They don't want to think about it. Well, they don't want to think about ramifications or inconsistencies or anything like that. So I definitely think a lot of people are jumping on a bandwagon.
Okay.
Well, taking it towards the sort of the reaction specifically about surrounding the question of this, just some things you don't joke about. I watched with you. You showed me a video by Lacey Green,
yep.
Whose channel is like Go Green 18 or something.
No,
like
that's
that.
Her old one. I think it's Lacey Green.
It's Lacey Green now.
Just Google Lacey Green.
Yeah, you'll find it. And her video. In her video, she showed the clip from Nicole Arbour, and then directly after that, she showed a Daniel Tosh joke, where Daniel Tosh told this joke where he said he swapped his sister's pepper spray with silly string.
And now she's been raped.
And she went, long story short, she was raped. And everyone...
Which I actually thought was really funny.
Yeah, but this is the thing. People very, very quickly misunderstand the mechanics of comedy. Because that joke was not, she got raped, ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. The joke was the fact that he was smiling and saying something as horrible as rape so casually as if it was just a throwaway, like, an annoyance. That's the mechanics of the humour.
I'm really aware when talking about stuff like rape in jokes, because we are of a demographic that are not often victimised in the spheres of rape, right?
Right.
And so it is probably a lot easier for us to be able to turn those kinds of situations into comedy.
Sure.
And so for me, I don't find that joke offensive. But if there's somebody in the audience who has experienced rape...
This is what I want to say.
Yeah.
The same with Nicole Arbour. I watched a video by, what was it, Megan Tonjes?
Tonjes.
Mm-hmm. She was crying in response to that video. And it's completely legitimate emotion, because I understand that someone who has lived her life being mocked because of her body in a way that she can't change, even though she's tried and she's been told and demanded that she change.
But who is happy with her body now?
Sorry?
Like, she now talks a lot about body positivity and all
that. That's great. And I'm not saying that you're not allowed to be offended. What I'm saying is you can't tell people, no, don't talk about those kind of things. With jokes about rape, one of the things that Daniel Tosh said as well, he got heckled once. A woman was just outright heckling him. And
misgendering him.
Sorry.
How dare you?
You're not a cis inclusive. In a way, first of all, people want, we need to have safe spaces. Comedy clubs are not safe spaces. If you go up against a comedian and try and fuck with their work and fuck with their set, in my opinion, they can get away with a lot to get you to shut up. And he basically said, wouldn't it be funny if she got raped right now? Now, he's not saying that. He's not actually saying, it would be funny if someone came in with a knife, held her to the ground and forced sex on her. He's just, what he's doing is
so
trying to
I think that is, obviously I haven't seen the clip and I don't know about that clip, but I think that is poor use of...
Sure, you could argue it's poor use. You could argue it's poor use.
Yeah, no, that I can't. And obviously he can say whatever he wants in his set. He's on stage, he has the control there. But I think especially when men are joking about those kinds of things, there does need to be an awareness that you're walking through a field of landmines.
I agree. I'm the first to say that
you know that Mozambique is officially free of landmines.
That's really good to hear.
Of course. I will be the first to say I am soaked in privilege. I'm a straight, white, cisgendered, able-bodied, neurotypical male. I am so...
Neurotypical.
All right, thanks very much. I'm very, very privileged, and I understand that. I've never known what it's like to be shamed because I'm fat. I've never known what it's like to be raped. So... I am aware of that. What I'm saying is that people who say that you don't know what it's like, you can't joke about this, they're inconsistent, because when you start putting rules up like that, there are other things that maybe some people who have had the horrible experience of being raped, they are fine with jokes about other things.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who say that you can't joke about rape, they don't seem to have that much of a problem with Holocaust jokes. And the people that...
You can't make a sweeping statement like that.
Well,
like you can.
They don't. En masse, they don't come out against it. Generally speaking,
I feel like Holocaust jokes are also. Like, it's kind of been internationally agreed that Jewish people are probably the only ones that can make those jokes, or people who were in the community.
Not true, not true.
Really?
So many people who aren't Jewish who make those kind of jokes. Mm-hmm. And the people that have a problem with Jewish jokes may well laugh at a 9/11 joke, or a cancer joke, or a miscarriage joke, or anything like that. The thing that I've learned about my years of trying and not yet succeeding to be a comedian...
Oh, you're occasionally funny to look at.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I do it all for you, Jazza, you dick. The one thing I've learned is offence is not logical. It's not fundamental. It's not deconstructible. You can't explain it in terms of logic. Like, this is right, this is wrong, this is funny, this is not. People are offended by things that hit home emotionally, and that's perfectly legitimate. And you're totally able to say, I don't like this, I don't want to watch it. But don't tell other people what they can find offensive and what they have to stay away from.
I would also like to counter. Or I don't know, it's not really.
Parry the post.
You know, it's more like corroborate, I suppose, using that word for a second time today. That as someone who is in one particular minority group, I have a problem with a lot of gay jokes per se. There's a difference between making jokes about being gay and making jokes where the joke is gay. And people often talk about, you know, you're mocking the rape victim. No, you're not. That's not the mechanics of the joke.
Yeah, I think that's the difference, right? Is when the actual thing is the funny thing.
But
like,
people,
it's like, so for example, if Holocaust is the funny thing, then that's
the Holocaust is not funny.
That's exactly what it's saying. Something about what's happening, like characters within that story, or if it pulls the rug from under you, which is what so many amazing jokes do, then I feel like that is a... Like, there's a reason that we don't have licenses to be comedians, but I feel like that's how you should be approaching those kinds of heavy jokes.
But you've got to be very careful about the use of the word should, I think, because...
In my opinion...
Right.
Should. What do you think people misinterpret, then, when they do find stuff like Nicole Arbour or stuff like rape or Holocaust
They're emotionally
jokes?
Connected. The simple fact is that, again, I don't have a lot of things that offend me, and maybe it's because I'm so fucking privileged.
Mm-hmm.
But I generally agree with you in many ways, and of course I'm only one particular mode of discrimination, but there's tons of people who make really, like, close-to-the-bone gay jokes that I think are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Me personally, as someone who isn't stricken with AIDS, I love a good T-cell joke. A lot of roasts where it's a gay person on, it's like, I'm just like, please, I can't wait for this joke. It's going to be so funny.
But they work in very specific circumstances.
Well, this is one thing that I want to point out. I've heard a lot of people say that when it comes to talking or conversing or communicating ideas, it's not the intent that matters, it's the impact. So if you offend someone, whatever your intent was, you were wrong. That's complete bullshit. The intent informs the impact. That's why we have roasts. People say that we don't make racist humor anymore. We totally do. It's just that we come from a perspective where most people can be assumed not to be racist.
I feel like that's the difference between what's happened with Nicole Arbour and what happens in comedy clubs, though, because those kind of spheres are seen as spaces where it's okay to make
but
those kinds of jokes.
But you still get people
but
saying...
But then Nicole has put it out into the world where people who are going to actively be looking to be offended by those kinds of things are going to be watching it and are going to get a reaction. And that's part of her business plan, in quotes.
I agree with Mike, though, about the difference between impact and context, because this is a saying from Lisa Lampanelli, who is known for a really, like, close-to-the-bone, really, like, quote-unquote, offensive humour. She makes incredibly, sort of, like, harsh racial jokes, very often uses slurs, and there's a, you know, a very sort of Neapolitan audience, so to speak.
It's Neapolitan?
Yeah,
like the ice cream.
Yeah, exactly, many colours. I was speaking.
Righto.
And so she has this quote where she says, we roast the ones we love. So she goes on these roasts and says horrible things about her friends. And it's funny. She went on a roast where it was about people that you had no kind of affiliation or affection for. It would not be funny.
But that's why in that sphere it is accepted and safe to make those things. Whereas YouTube is the most open... because that's the problem with YouTube, is that there is no context.
But I think you can establish it. I think you can specifically say, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it, this is how I'm doing it, and as long as you sort of agree with the contract, so to speak.
But didn't she fail to do that?
That's the point. That's exactly the crux of the point. Aside from the fact that I
this is a personal speculation, I suppose, that I genuinely felt as though a lot of these jokes and a lot of the statements she made do come up from a place of genuine contempt for fat people.
Yeah.
She failed to establish that familiarity and agreement between herself and her audience, whereas there's tons of people who can do that really well. For one person was Joan Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Every single joke she made was great.
She made rape jokes, black jokes.
She made Holocaust jokes. She made jokes about her family, who were very often, you know, a lot of her family members were killed in Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
And she made, like, going into, I haven't seen a German look this hot since, like, going into the ovens or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the exact phrasing, but
because I think we can safely say that Nicole Arbour isn't Joan Rivers.
No, absolutely not.
We've spoken for way too long on this topic.
I just want to get one more thing out.
One more thing out. Go on.
Speaking about that, the paradigm between intent and impact. I want to make it clear: when you have people on a roast, you have a bunch of people who have agreed that they are there to insult one another
in a funny way,
and some of the jokes that are told, like in the James Franco roast, Charlie Sheen roast, Patrice O'Neill, like big tubby black guy, Amy Schumer made a load of racist, like I'm assuming your grandmother raised you kind of, because of all the black fathers that are absent and everything like that.
The stereotype.
Yeah.
But the reason that didn't offend Patrice, the reason he laughed along, is because the intent was not to harm. Mm-hmm. And you can assume that in most comedians.
That was already established.
In comedians, yes. But we keep coming back to this.
Like, did like a vlog where she just like, yeah, I've just been having some thoughts about fat people recently. I just think they're just terrible people and I wish they'd fucking lose weight. I would be like, what the fuck
is
that?
That is essentially what she said.
No, it isn't.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Okay, we have to leave this there because this is a very long section. This is our longest...
more to say.
Well, in which... maybe you'll be able to talk about it on Twin Joke, which is your weekly show.
This will be my last...
Oh my God. No, I'm trying to wrap up.
This will be my last thought, okay?
Fine.
Since you mentioned the Dave Franco roast... there was a very, very... This is the crux of the argument. A lot of people were upset about the way that homosexuality was dealt with, because in that particular roast, gay was the joke. It wasn't jokes about gay people. It was gay was the joke. Even though I wasn't particularly offended by them, I understand it. The joke there was homosexuality being foolish, being wrong, being bizarre.
The joke was, you're gay, that's funny.
Yeah. So that is the difference between
and
a
you
joke...
were offended.
Sort of. It irritated me, but I'm not. It didn't really.
It was sloppy comedy. That was the problem for me. Anyway.
Whereas, so that was the difference between jokes about being gay and jokes where the joke is gay, where being gay is the thing to laugh at and mock.
Can I please wrap up now?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank God.
There's so much more I want to say, but please go on.
Well, maybe you can talk about it on your show, Twin
Our
Joke.
Our show always runs over, so we need to condense.
Where can people find Twin Joke, Michael?
Essentially, me and Jacob are a comedy duo, the Fratocrats.
Comedy in inverted commas.
No. it's Fratocrats, so that's Fratocrats. That's correct spelling. I am dyslexic. It basically means rule by brothers. Frato meaning brother. Crapocracy.
You don't have to give that etymology.
We didn't need that.
On that channel, we have made a series, a hell of a lot of sketches. We do a weekly show now that we've just started called Twin Joke, which we've been getting very good reviews
it's
for.
It's amazing, and I urge all like 15 of
we
you
have a Facebook page.
To check it out.
Facebook
and they have
page, Fratocrats on Facebook.
Great, excellent.
Like
that page. And if you want to, I'm sure that a lot of you are going to have a lot of opinions about what we've said about offensive jokes in Nicole Arbour. Please do be offended publicly at us on Twitter at Right Dishonour. Also, go to the website rightdishonourable.com and leave us loads of offensive comments if you like. And then finally, what's the other thing? Oh, yeah. Rate us 5 stars on the iTunes store and leave us a review because that helps us very much.
Okay.
I've been Jazza.
Hello. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jacob.
And this has been The Right Dishonourable. Thank you very much. Goodbye.